Our reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 19 through 27. Let us listen for the word of God. He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Now some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow to heart to believe all the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
I want to begin by saying a word of congratulations to one of our Foundry members and a faithful usher here at Foundry, Anita Bonds, who was elected to continue her term on the DC Council this past Tuesday. So, Anita, there you are. Congratulations. You're wonderful. We're all very excited. I also want to celebrate that I had the opportunity yesterday to conduct two weddings. One of them was for Jim and Yoon, who are graduates of our pre-Cana class. It was a great celebration of their love and of their marriage. And then later in the evening, I had the opportunity to celebrate the wedding of Dick and Vicky. And I would invite you to keep these two couples who begin their married life together this weekend in your prayers. At the hotel where the second service was held, there was sort of a lounge area where I was told that I could change out of my suit jacket into my robe and the other things I wear when I do weddings. And there were some people in the lounge as I was doing that. And one of them came over to chat with me about theology. He asked me if I was a Catholic. I told him I'm a Methodist, and we had a conversation. It turns out they told me later that he was a singer by the name of Drake. Has anybody heard of a singer by the name of Drake? When I told this to Dawn, she about fell over. But I need to confess that I did not know who Drake was. But I want you to know, those of you who know Drake and who follow his music, that he has done a lot of reading and study in the area of religion and theology. So I'm going to either ask Dawn to do one of his raps for me, which she can do, by the way, or else I'll download it. It was a great day, great weekend, baptisms and weddings and new members, and we will look forward to a time of prayer with the Arnold family in the week ahead as they prepare for the memorial service. We're going to take a few minutes later in the service to have some congregational time together to talk about community business today, which we do very, very rarely, but which we want to do at the end of this service. So I want to say what I have to say about this scripture lesson as concisely as I can this morning. And what I want to talk about is the power of stories. The stories we tell and the stories we live by. One of the greatest influence, and I mention this to our parents, especially who are in the congregation, one of the greatest influences parents have on children is through the stories they tell about them. Parents tell a child who he or she is and could be by the stories they choose to tell others about the child in the child's hearing. There's perhaps no greater influence on a child's life than what they hear their parents telling other people about them, stories about them. Fortunately, I had parents who told stories about me being smart and brave. And as a result of hearing the stories they told others about me, I grew up believing that I could do well intellectually and academically, and that I was brave enough to do what was right when I had a choice in the world. I wish they'd also told stories about me being athletic and coordinated. Unfortunately, they told stories about me being a little clumsy and uncoordinated, but still the stories they did tell about me were very, very good. And they helped me understand who I was and who I had the potential to be. It's probably changed now, but I remember reading an academic study that someone actually did on the tattoos worn by men, by males, who end up in prison. And at that time, it may have changed since because the tattoo world has changed, but at the time I read the study of men who ended up in prison, the most common tattoo that they had had put on their body was a tattoo that said, "Born to Lose." The stories that they had heard about themselves as children were stories that gave them the message that they were losers. Family stories are also important and formative. The stories that we hear about our ancestors and our grandparents and our aunts and uncles and great aunts and uncles, the stories that we tell about our families are also formative on our children and on ourselves. The stories I was told about the Snyders growing up were about Snyders always being a people who work hard, stories about Snyders who gave away money to others in need even when they had barely enough for themselves, and about Snyder women being the ones in charge. These stories about the Snyder family helped shape my understanding of who I am and who I am supposed to be. I had a friend who used to love to tell stories about the outlaws in his family. He would talk about previous generations of his family, which included apparently a cattle rustler and a number of moonshiners, and at least one bank robber. He loved to tell those stories. He loved to sit and talk about these long ago relatives. I remember when his children were teenagers, though, how he'd complain to me again and again about how hard it was to get his kids to obey the rules. And I wanted to say to him that maybe he ought to rethink the family stories he keeps telling his children. Stories shape us. They give us our identity. On the first Easter Sunday afternoon, two disciples of Jesus were walking from the city of Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. A stranger joined them on the walk. It was Jesus, but they did not recognize him. They did not know it was Jesus. They told this stranger the story of Jesus' crucifixion and death. They told the stranger a story about their own disappointment and defeat and discouragement. Then the stranger, who was unknown to them, Jesus, told them another story, a larger story, a story beginning with Moses and all the prophets. The gospel says he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. He told them another story. One of the biggest questions that you and I face in life is, what story will we choose to live by? What essential story is going to guide our life? What cosmic story will we allow to shape us? What eternal story will we live in? Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, invited his disciples to live in the story that begins with God hearing the prayers of a group of slaves in Egypt and parting the sea so that they could walk through the seas on a journey toward freedom. Jesus invited his disciples to live in a story about a God who sends prophets and teachers into the world to show us how to live with each other justly and lovingly. Jesus invites them to understand his story and their story as his disciples in the context of this larger story of a God who enters into the human story to show us how to live together and how to love each other. And the question for you and me is, what story, and we answer this question daily, what story we will choose to be our story, our primal story, our basic story, the story that shapes our understanding of the world and our life. The world around us is always trying to sell us a story. Somebody or another is always trying to sell us a story. Listen to the music in the world around you. Watch commercials on television. Explore the internet. There's always someone trying to sell you a story that will define your life. Walk past any magazine rack. This morning on the way to church, I decided to try an experiment. I stopped by the 24-hour CVS on P Street to check out their magazine rack. And these are the first two magazines I saw. Absolutely, the first two magazines I saw. The first one, the cover says, "From Startup to Millionaire, the 7 best pieces of advice to get you there." This magazine is trying to sell you a story about how to find happiness and meaning in your life. It's the very first magazine I saw. The second magazine I saw was this one. This magazine says, "Bikini Body Now." "Flat abs, tight tush, lean legs." This magazine is trying to sell us a story about how we can find happiness and meaning and success in life. Everywhere we turn, someone is trying to tell us a story, and I'm trying to sell you a story, and it's the story that's found in this book, the story that Jesus told his disciples about eternal life being found not in the pursuit of wealth or of sexiness, but being found by following a God who enters into human history to move human history toward community, toward inclusion, toward justice, toward love. We're all trying to sell you a story. And the question is, which story are we going to buy? Which story are we going to believe in? Will we believe that eternal life is found in becoming a millionaire? Will we believe that eternal life is found in having a tight tush? Or will we believe that eternal life is found in the God who enters our world in Jesus Christ to show us what eternal life means through love, generosity, caring, and inclusion and justice? I want to confess that I did not go to seminary because I had a thunderous call to ministry, and I did not go to seminary. As a matter of fact, I didn't know I'd be going into ministry when I went to seminary, and I didn't go to seminary because I had a profound faith, the exact opposite. I went to seminary because I had a very, very weak faith. I wanted to believe this story, but I did not find it intellectually palatable. I believed in a cause and effect world. I believed in evolution. I believed in a world that was contained and explainable within itself. And I went to seminary because I wanted to figure out if I could intellectually believe what seemed so obvious to me about the world around me and this story at the same time. So I went to seminary, and I spent most of my time reading theology. I didn't spend it learning how to do ministry, actually. I spent my time reading Barth and Brunner and Tillich and Moltmann and Boff and James Cone. I absorbed theology because I wanted to try to figure out if it was possible to be a person of the intellectual world in which I lived and to give myself to this story at the same time. Now, most of you don't need to go to seminary to do that because your faith isn't as weak as mine. Most of you can live into this story without having to spend years of your life studying theology, but my faith was so weak that I needed a lot of intellectual help to be able to decide that this, in spite of all of my intellectual struggles, was going to be the story that I would try to live in. Every day, we need to make a decision. Sometimes we may make the wrong one, sometimes we may make the right one. And the decision we need to make is, will this be our story? Will this be our story? No one can prove it to you. I can't prove it to you. But they can't prove that lean legs will bring you joy either. They can't prove that $1 million will bring you meaning in your life either. I can't prove this story. But I can invite you to live into it, and I believe as we live into it that we will understand the story better. And that one day our eyes will be open and we will know the story complete. I invite you to live into this story that Jesus talked about on the road to Emmaus. A story that begins with a journey toward liberation and freedom and community and inclusion and justice. And the story that still continues in our world today. Good word, Dave.